Good morning again, good looking people.
Good morning, Pastor.
How are the Holy Ones doing today?
Good.
All right. The topic that we have for today, it's a sensitive one, but necessary. I believe sometimes in life, the most essential things do make us uncomfortable. But they are necessary. And because they are necessary, we will present them as kind as possible, but not compromising the need that they need to be presented. Those words that you see on the screen are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says clearly, these people are worshiping me in vain. A version says. Another version says, their worship is worthless. Do you know what it means to come to church every single week for 50 years, 60 years, and figure out that all was done for nothing? Because you are going to the wrong place, worshiping the wrong way, just because you are too stubborn to listen and to be humble enough to allow the Holy Spirit to convince you what is the truth. I know for a fact that not all of you here share exactly the same beliefs. I know this. But I want you to allow one thing to happen today. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, not Pastor Elsa, but the Holy Spirit. And so whatever you hear here today, may that be an invitation for you to be part of God's chosen people. And I don't mean the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I mean that group that Jesus Christ will call into the kingdom as he comes to provide that mention that Brother Joseph was talking about. And the young man, in a very eloquent way, presented his prayer as well. And so please be sensitive enough. Let your humble spirit be greater than your pride. And so the Lord will speak to you today. And I hope by listening to what you hear today, you understand that our intention is only to give you opportunity to have the light. Today's message is entitled The D-Day Part 2. Last week we presented the D-Day, and today is Part 2. And the D-Day here, I'm not talking about that kind of war that took place and finished in June 6, 1945. I'm talking about the D-Day here, the day that has been chosen to be the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? Depends who you ask, right? I was looking at the internet, and I found, and I said, I cannot share all these details with the church because we're going to need 3 hours to do all the details. But I be careful when you go to internet because there are so much deception. There are so many things that if you want to find something wrong, if you have some, you want to convince yourself of anything, you can find on the internet. But if you're sincere, if the Holy Spirit is guiding you, you'll be able to find a clear message about what is the Lord's Day and what is not. Now, when you say, what is the Lord's Day? Now, if you capitalize the Lord, you assume that that's our Lord. If you don't capitalize the Lord, it may be a different Lord. People go to the church always to praise the Lord. The question is, which Lord they are praising? That's the question that some people don't ask themselves. As it depends on whom you serve. Everyone practices religion based in who they choose to serve and whom they choose. Now, you have seen this. I have used this a few times. A serpent. It was not really a serpent who talks to Adam and Eve. You know that. That was just Satan playing games. False worship on this earth is started here. And with a very common word, it was all that he said, eat, nothing else. But he left out the D and the H. That was the part of the deception. He says, eat. But when they took a bite, then death came into this earth. Now, this is not a real newspaper. I create this. I took a real newspaper and I add things to it. It is a question. The Lord's Day? Question mark. The weekend? Compromise. I realized that we in English, I mentioned this last week, we use the word weekend without even realizing, even Seventh-day Adventists, that we, by saying weekend, we take Sunday and put Sunday in the place of the Sabbath. I was talking last week, it looks like a little embarrassment because I asked my brother Cleveland to stand up and tell me some information. And the thing, his information and my information did not fit very well. Then I went back to do my homework. I says, where did I get it wrong? No, I was not wrong. It was just the way we approached the subject. If I ask them, and we have quite a few ones here, very good-looking people that speak Swahili, how do you call, what is the name that you call the Sabbath, the day? Jumamosi? And I went and looked. I said, okay, I'm going to check this before I bring this again, because now I'm going to have more people from that speak Swahili. So I checked and I confirmed after I knew the answer. I confirmed to one that speaks Swahili. Jumamosi means the first day, and yet is the Sabbath. So they rearranged. So I went, just for you folks to know, I said, I want to go to another countries to find out if this happens. Muslim countries, Afghanistan, Iran, and some others, even until 2000, the year 2000, even Jordan and some Arab countries, they also had the Sabbath as the first day, so they could arrange for Friday to become the seventh. And I checked also in, I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm not going to try, the name for Friday in Swahili, it came from Arabic, and it means a day of prayer, literally the translation. So all this I checked, and then I checked all the information, and I realized that the whole world is being deceived one way or the other. But I asked myself, why such a large portion of the population of the world are moving away from the Sabbath? Or either they go to Friday, or they skip the Sabbath and go to Sunday. There is only one explanation. They are running away for Abba. They want to adopt another Abba. They are listening to a Lord, but the wrong Lord. And that's why everything came to place. I have some notes here about how the weekend started in the United States. You'll be amazing how to. Oh, in a newspaper you see there too. I said there, Rome's 1,700 years project. And then the other side, the other column, I put the Sunday world acceptance. The fight for the Sabbath. The partnership between rabbis and labor that deliver the two-day weekend. How it started, a lot of Jewish people came as a refugee to the United States. Thousands and thousands of them. If you don't believe me, just move to New Jersey and New York. You're going to see how many of them are still in that area. Thousands and thousands. And they came and they became the workforce. But they had one thing. They could not work on the Sabbath. They want to keep the Sabbath so they can go to attend services. But because the economy was struggling, they were forced to go to work. Of course, nobody can force you. But they fought. This is being published by Avi Garelik. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correct or not. It doesn't matter. The magazine that is a publication, the Jewish Currents, you can check this online. The Fight for the Sabbath. It was just republished February 21st, 2023, just a month ago. So this is a very interesting article because it tells the story how this labor movement with the Jewish people and some other Christians, they were fighting because the Christian says, no, you can only have the Lord's Day free, Sunday. But they said, no, we want the Lord's Day to be free. I want the Sabbath. And they fought against the Jewish people and try. In those days, there were the blue laws that forced people to take off Sunday. They were by law. In counties everywhere, they have the law, the famous Sunday laws. And by the way, those laws are still in the books. They never removed them. They can be reinforced anytime. So they're all in the books. In 1885, through acknowledging the problems that a six-day week, work week, yes, brought to those who wanted to go to Sabbath services. By the way, I capitalized the Sabbath myself because that Abba is there, so I capitalized the Sabbath myself. These Reformed Jews, which is a branch of liberal Jews of the faith, this is what they state. When the pressure came, the liberals did this. There is nothing in the spirit of Judaism to prevent the holding of divine services on Sunday or any other day of the week. I don't know how many of you have heard this before. I have heard the same statement, but not from a Jewish person. I have heard this statement from people that go to church on Sunday. It says, oh, the Bible says the Sabbath. Sabbath is rest. And I even heard this from a priest who said to me, Sabbath means rest. That means whatever day you rest, you dedicate to the Lord because all days belong to the Lord. And I says, yes, priest, that's why the Bible makes sure that you did not get this kind of misunderstanding. It says the seventh. The seventh. It didn't say. And so what happens is that some other places, they change the position of the days of the week so that they keep saying seventh, but they get you to believe that the wrong seventh is in place. It says compromise. This is what they were asking. This liberal group of Jewish, they're trying to make the Jewish people to compromise. But it says here, a rabbi named Bernard Drachman became president of the Jewish Sabbath Alliance, which advocated for the right of Jews to keep the Sabbath. By 1910, Drachman advocated for the kind of ecumenical two-day Sabbath observed both by Jews and Christians. So he says, okay, we are Jewish people. Why don't we have two Sabbaths? You have your Sabbath, I have my Sabbath. And that was a very bad compromise because from that point on, the Christians continue insisting that they have the Sabbath on Sunday. And so by using the Jewish people, by using Sabbath in this context, they turn the Sabbath into a rest instead of a unique day blessed by God. So their compromise affect them and affect everybody else as well. It says, Rabbi Isaac Weiss. Isn't it amazing that sometimes people have the right name? This individual, Isaac, last name Weiss, actually he was very wise. Look what he said. Rabbi Isaac Weiss of Cincinnati called the Sunday Sabbath compromise a barefaced and downright hypocrisy and lie. You can desecrate the Sabbath, he wrote. And then he said, but you cannot consecrate the Sunday. And that is one mistake that a lot of people have made. They go to church on Sunday and they think that that's okay. You have to understand one thing. No human being, not a one, ever existed. Known ones that went to heaven like Moses after he was resurrected, or Enoch, or Elijah, none of them has the power to consecrate anything. You cannot make anything holy. That's why the Bible says, keep it holy, because we cannot make it. We are not in the business to make anything holy. No matter how many things you do like this, you cannot make anything holy. Only God can make it holy. And the only way God can make something holy is when God claims ownership. If you belong to God, that's why I come in front here and call, hey, holy ones, because I assume that you are here in church because you have given your lives to Christ. And that's, therefore, if you belong to God, you are holy, because God makes you holy. Jesus Christ says, you are of the Father, the devil, the one who does evil. That means devil. And the desire of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer, a destroyer. That's what his name means. The Bedon, Abaddon, the destroyer. From the beginning, he is the one who introduced death. And he's the one who continues. It says, and does not stand in the truth, because truth is Jesus Christ, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So I ask you, who do you think that has been creating days to replace Abba? The one who does not like Abba. Do you know who does not like Abba? The Abaddon. He does not like. That's him. A deceiver. A father of lies. For he is a liar and a father of it. John 8:44. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things. Do you know the reason why? It says here, why is God worthy of glory and honor and power? Because he created, because he's Abba, because he's creator. Nobody has the right to move Abba's day and put and give to somebody else. But somebody, a power that has been around for almost 2,000 years, said they do have the power to do such a thing. And by your will, they exist and were created. That's the only reason. That's the only reason we cannot replace the Sabbath. Because if you replace the Sabbath, you take the Creator away. You take the Creator, none of us exist. There's no life. It says here, Genesis 2, verse 3, you are very familiar. Then God blessed the first day of the week. Oh no, the seventh. And sanctify it. What it means, sanctify it? Anybody knows what the word sanctify means? Takes ownership of it. And when he grabs it and says, it's mine, and because it's holy, everything belongs to him, becomes holy. Sanctify means he did something else to make it holy. Look, because in he rested. The word rested means he put himself right in the middle of the word Sabbath. And I'm amazed, and I believe me, I'm repeating things here, but some of you have never heard, so for you it'll be the first time. I have met with a lot of Seventh-day Adventist pastors. And when I share to them, I says, have you seen Abba in the middle of the Sabbath? They look like, huh? I look some Jewish websites to see if there is anybody there that saw Abba in the middle of the Sabbath. They see Abba all the time, but it looks like nobody sees. It's there. And the reason why he rested him there, he put himself there. He made the Sabbath a sanctuary for his presence. So when the Bible says, my sanctuary, he is talking about the Sabbath as well. That's why the Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is not holy because it means rest. The Sabbath means he has made himself present. And today we are here because he is present. From all his work which God has created and made. You have seen this picture before. Remember the Sabbath day. Just to remember? No. To keep it holy. It's the commandment. And some people say, oh, but this was commandment given to the Jewish people. Do you know the Sabbath, and if you read your Bible, the Sabbath was observed even before the Ten Commandments were given to Mount Sinai. You can see that in the book of Numbers. Remember the manna came down? And the manna would not come down on the Sabbath because the Lord respects his own Sabbath. And he expects you to do the same. Manna came every day, but not on the Sabbath. And you notice that that was before the Ten Commandments was even given. The law always existed in the Sabbath as well. A commandment established by God. Can God change his commandments?
No.
Anybody here, do you think that God can change?
No.
If you ask other people from other denominations, they think God can change. God cannot. John 1:3, all things were made through him. Talking about Abba. And without Abba, nothing was made that was made. Abba, and this is talking about Jesus Christ. Mark 2, verse 28 says, therefore the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is also the Lord of the Sabbath. So what is the Lord's Day? I think you take a two-year-old, I'm exaggerating, maybe a three-year-old, a four-year-old, we understand the logic. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, what is the Lord's Day? If Jesus is the Lord. You shall keep my Sabbaths. Whose Sabbaths? And what is the word there? Reverence. My sanctuary. What is the word reverence? Be aware, be at awe of his presence. That's what reverence is. I am the Lord and I chose to be present with you. So be aware of my presence. Now, I put this picture here because I tried to make this picture comprehensive. What do you see in this picture? Behind, in the background, what is there? The Word of God, right? To this side, what do you see? I want to trick you. The Word of God in stone. And what do you see here? The Word of God. What do you see there? The Word of God. Yeah, the Bible says, I am the Word.
Yeah.
All that you see there is the Word. And what Satan wants is you to modify the Word so the Word will say something that it was not intended to be said. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Please mark this in your Bible. Please do. Don't forget to mark this in your Bible. I know that whatever God does, you shall last as long as human beings come and change them. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. And by the way, God is always a God of forever. He's not a God of for a little while. Everything about God is forever. Amen to that. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing. Not Sunday worship. Anything can be added to it. And nothing taken from it. You cannot take the Sabbath and turn into a pagan day and claim that that was God's act. God does it that man humans should fear before him. The word fear here means respect. For I am the Lord. Oh, please read it with me. I am the Lord. I do not change. You can read the rest of the text. Malachi 3 verse 6. I do not change. Praise God that he doesn't change. Can you imagine serve a God that cannot make up his mind? Can you imagine? There are so many verses. I have to control myself. There are so many of them. There is one verse that the Bible says clearly. Thank God that God is not a man that changed their mind. God doesn't forget. God keeps all his promises. Whatever God has promised us is a sure thing we will receive, because God changes not. You can see that in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, in whom there is no shadow of change. God changes not. I am the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. I am the Alpha, the Omega. The word Abba itself shows that he has no beginning, no end. That's why it has A in the beginning, has A in the beginning, or which one is the beginning? There's no beginning, there's no end. That's what the name Abba is all about. Their worship is worthless. Let me pause here for a moment. Open your Bibles, please. There will be not on the screen, because I don't want you to fall asleep on me. That's why I kept this one on. I know we talk about rest, but I don't expect you to rest right now. Okay. Matthew chapter 7. By the way, this is Mark 7. It's very easy for you to compare the two and notice that they are talking about the same thing. Okay. Chapter 7. Read verse 21, 22, and 23. Okay. Matthew chapter 7. This part of the sermon, the famous Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Anybody here has a Bible in Swahili? Anybody has a Bible in Swahili? No? Amina. The only part that I heard very well, very clearly, is when they say, Buana, Buana. Buana, Buana. Said, don't say Lord, Lord. Those that say Lord, Lord is done enough. Some people think that, oh, Lord this, Lord that, and they think that this Lord business is going to take them to heaven. It doesn't work that way, folks. Unless you're committed to do His will, because when you do His will, He is Lord. And His day is the Lord's day. But if you go and listen to another Abba that sits in Rome, and believe that whatever he says, it goes, then you wonder, why would Jesus say, I have no idea who you are? Because you have been focused so much in what Rome has to say instead of what the Word of God has to say. And I told you that I was going to be a little bit unkind, but that's the Word of God, that's what it says. Their worship of me is worthless. See what Matthew says. Jesus Christ, His word. This is His words too. He says, I have no idea who you are. You all this, I cast out demons. We perform miracles. Please be aware of one thing. Satan is not, I have to be careful what I'm going to say here. I'm not going to call saying that he's smart. Because if he would be smart, he would not be Satan. He's still going to be Gabriel. He's still be in heaven. Okay, so he's not that smart. Sometimes we confuse the word smart or being clever, intelligent. You know, he's knowledgeable, but he's not intelligent. Okay, he's not wise. But he has his skills. He knows the art of deception. And he has been deceived the whole world. He has been working very hard, double time, to take people who are sincere but misguided. And the Bible says clearly, people that have itching ears to hear what is wrong instead of seeking for the truth. They worship me, is vain, is worthless. The things they teach are nothing. Emphasis on the word nothing. Remember when I asked you to raise your hand and I ask you, what do you have in your hand? And you say, I have nothing. How can you have nothing if nothing is not anything? It's an expression that we use. We say in English, I have nothing. Is nothing something you can have? There are a lot of people being deceived out there. They are grabbing to nothing and they think they have something. Sunday worship is nothing because it's human rule. It is established by a pagan emperor who imposed that on the entire church, and the church was embracing and embraced and have been dealing with the same excuses until this day. You have stopped following the commands of God, like the Sabbath, and you follow only human teachings. Wow, this is such a bullseye right on the spot. Mark, and is it coincidence that it should Mark 7:7 is talking about the Sabbath, the commandments of God. I have a different version. It is useless for you to worship me. That's another version. When you teach rules made up by humans. So who creates Sunday worship? Humans. You disobey God's commandments in order to obey what humans have taught. Now I put this picture together. This is three or four pictures together. And notice that one person is just step on the law. Some people say, oh no, it's just modifying. Instead of going to church on the seventh day, I go on the first, but I keep the commandments. You don't. You don't keep any commandments if you break one. And here is the guy with the hammer. He wants to get rid of that fourth commandment. But the first strike that he does on the law, he cracks the whole law. You cannot have your way, brothers and sisters. James 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point. I have asked people from all denominations, I says, what is the big deal? If you really love the Lord, why don't you just do what he asks you to? Why you spend so much energy trying to convince yourself that a lie is not a lie? That a deception is not a deception? For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of them all. Tell me one thing. Is it possible for somebody who say, I worship God and I keep his law, when they not keep the Sabbath? It's not. You take Abba out of the Ten Commandments. Do you know what happens? No God is left. Have you paid attention to the Ten Commandments? The only place that actually emphasizes who God is the fourth. You take the fourth out. You can put any God there and becomes the Ten Commandments of somebody else. I don't know why people don't see it. Psalm 89:34, New Living. It says, I will not break my agreement or covenant or change what I have spoken my lips. Go to Exodus and you say clearly, those are the words that God spoke, things that came from his lips. I will not. Remember Ecclesiastes 3:14, I change, everything I do is forever. That goes there. What do you see here in the screen? What do you think this is? Many Bible versions. Satan has done this. He changed the calendars. He changed the culture. He changed the churches. And now he's working with us, the people who rely on the Bible. So what it says, I cannot change them, so I'm going to change the book that they read. And you pay attention. You may have one of those versions in your home, that the Sabbath is no longer capitalized. There are some Spanish versions, and I saw also in English, some versions that no longer use the word Sabbath, but use the word reposo. In Portuguese, descanso. They are modifying, they are crawling in like a bacteria. A very tiny plan, very dangerous way. They are sneaking in and they are changing. They already changed us because they have changed our culture. Remember that I said here before, we Seventh-day Adventists, we say, which day is this? Or Saturday. Dear beloved folks, today is not Saturday. Today is not Saturday. Because the moment that you call it Saturday, you take Abba out and you put a pagan god in place. Can you imagine how severe that should be for the beloved God that looks at you as my children? I don't know how I can convince you how serious this is. It is not Saturday. Today is Abba's day, is Sabbath. And it's not, by the way, Sabbath does not belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It does not belong to the Jewish people. Sabbath has always a creation of Abba, and it will be always His. A new version. Translation? Translation is when there is respect for the original. That's the difference between translation. Some of you may have a Bible you call, I have a Bible translation. You may not have a translation in your hand. You may have just a commentary. Let me give you an example. Anybody here owns a commentary called The Promise? They call it a Bible version. It's not a Bible version at all. It's a commentary. Here, one says, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Pure for how long? Be careful what version you put in your hand, what you put in your mind, because original is pure, but there are a lot of fakes around. Now, I put this individual here because he's trying to hammer the Sabbath out of the law. The Bible says, don't touch it. Don't break it, or it will break you. Yes, don't do it. The Council of Laodicea, 363, says this. This is an encyclopedia. I shared this last week. Commands Christians not to observe Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. I agree with them, we should not observe Saturday. But we do should observe Sabbath. It says, but Sunday as the day of rest. And if you look in the Bible and history, the Bible says that 1,260 years, Babylon was going to be the dragon, the beast, was going to be killing Christians. Why they were killing Christians? Because those Christians were the ones who were obeying and staying with the Bible, giving the authority to the Bible. They were not killing people that were going to church on Sunday. They were killing people that was keeping God's commandment the way it's supposed to be. Do you know this place? There is an individual that sits here that they call Abba. That's the word Papa means. Why would he call himself the name of God? You see, I have a text for you to read. Their own words. The Church of God, meaning they call them the Church of God, has thought it well to transfer the celebration and observance of the Sabbath to Sunday. So who did? I don't think they did. They try. They convince a lot of people. I asked this question before, and this was a trick question. It says, who changed the Sabbath to Sunday? No one. Who did?
No one.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What about Constantine? Yeah, people say, oh, Constantine did. No, he did not. He just tried. Who did? Lucifer did. No, he tried. Nothing that God has established will ever change. People who believe that it can change, they'll be destroyed in the process, but it cannot be done. The history of the Sunday. Not the creator of the universe in Genesis 2, verse 1 and 3, but the Catholic Church can claim the honor of having granted man a pause to work every 7 days. This is their own writing, their own words. I wonder what he thinks. Let me tell you what he did. By the way, this is their words. I don't call him a pope because the Bible says clearly, Jesus Christ told me, don't call anybody father but your heavenly father. So I don't call him pope. Every time I refer about, if it's my own words, I refer to him as the Bishop of Rome, which is respectful, but is not what the Bible says to me, not to call him Abba, because he's not Abba. The pope can modify divine law. This is what they are saying. Since his power is not of man, but of God, and he acts as vicegerent of God upon earth. This is what it was written by their own. That's their own words. Doesn't the Bible says this power will speak blasphemies? Yes, they don't want to hear. No, not really. Revelation 1:10. This is one of those translations that is not a translation. Voice. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The first day of the week, they put in parentheses. And I heard a voice behind me. It sounded like the blast of trumpet. Now, if you look at the promise, it doesn't put in parentheses. In the promise, it says like this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Sunday. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Sunday. It is not. John, when he was in the Lord's day, he was referring to the Lord's day, the only day that belongs to the Lord. He was not talking about Sunday. If you keep my commandments, the Lord Jesus says, you will remain in my love. Just I kept my Father's commandments and remain on his love. Some people out there says that the way they go to church on Sunday is because Jesus changed from Sabbath to Sunday. It's just a blasphemy. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up in the last days. Brothers and sisters, that is my goal, to see you in the kingdom. I hope by God's grace that you make a commitment to be there. Is the Sabbath relevant? Is it thou shalt not kill relevant? Is do not take the name of God in vain relevant? Is to honor father and mother relevant? Is thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal all relevant? Is to have only one God relevant? Do not make images relevant? It's all relevant because it's the character of God that is clearly shown in his will. Remember Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but the one that does my Father's will. But Lord, we have performed miracles. We have done everything. We have gone to church. We have this mega church. I have given millions of dollars to the church. And Jesus Christ says to that person, I have no idea who you are. Away from me, those that practice iniquity, meaning those that break the law. If you break in one, you break them all. May God bless you and give you his grace to provide you forgiveness and motivation to live under his grace, but not a disgraceful life, a life to choose to be obedient to him, to his will. Let's stand and sing 388.